History Matters, showing our children that their past is prelude to their future, with book recommendations, by Ed Lengel for David Bruce Smith's Grateful American Book Prize. The Battle of Gonzales, October 1835. A small-scale reenactment of the 1775 battles of Lexington and Concord, which commemorated the start of the Revolutionary War, took place 190 years ago this month, in the 14-year-old settlement of Gonzales, in the Mexican province of Texas. After a long war, it had finally secured its independence from Spain in 1821. Even so, residuals of the conflict remained in Texas. Mexican outposts were practically rubbed out and continuously menaced by native Indians. In a desperate attempt to restore viability, the nascent Mexican government permitted, and even encouraged, communities of Anglo-American frontiersmen to emerge, led by Stephen F. Austin, who was given the title of empresario. By the mid-1830s, the permissive Mexican regime dwindled, as Antonio de Santa Anna's government began to centralize authority and aggressively restrict Anglo rights in Mexico and their flexibility to import and own slaves. On October 2, 1835, Mexican officer Francisco de Castañeda left San Antonio de Bejar and rode at the head of 100 Dragoon cavalrymen to seize a 6-pounder cannon held by the Anglo-Texans in Gonzales. The Mexican government had provided the artillery piece to the Texans to defend against Indians. But they refused to relinquish it. Instead, they brandished a flag with the defiant motto, "Come and take it." The Mexican dragoons tried to take it, but they were driven off by the defenders. The skirmish activated the Texan Revolution, aroused the storming of the Alamo, and eventually, the formation of Texas. For more information about the Battle of Gonzales and the Texas War of Independence, the Grateful American Book Prize recommends Stephen L. Hardin's Texan Iliad, A Military History of the Texas Revolution, 1835-1836, 1996. The Opening of the Erie Canal, October 1825. George Washington dreamed of a unified country, with a healthy infrastructure of commerce and trade, qualities that were anticipated to fuse the reciprocal interests of the North and South, East and West, into zones of unity and prosperity. Major rivers, connected by canals, according to Washington, would be an exemplary strategy toward achieving his vision. When the Erie Canal opened 200 years ago this month, it delineated a critical first step towards realizing his aspiration. Alexander Hamilton would have also endorsed the project, because it was particularly beneficial to his home state of New York. Surveyed in 1808, approved in 1817, and constructed between July 4, 1817, and October 26, 1825, the 363-mile canal connected the Hudson River to Lake Erie. It took 50,000 workers, using mostly hand trowels and animal power to dig it, clear the land, and build the locks, at a cost of more than $7 million. Heavy machinery and dynamite had not yet been invented, but Erie recovered its investment quickly and generated an upsurge in the commercial network throughout the 1950s. Since then, the dynamic activity gradually cooled, and the canal turned into a recreational waterway for pleasure boats, canoers, and a cultural heritage destination. For more information, the Grateful American Book Prize recommends Peter L. Bernstein's Wedding of the Waters, The Erie Canal and the Making of a Great Nation, 2006. Ed Lengel is an author, a speaker, and a storyteller. History Matters is a feature courtesy of the Grateful American Book Prize, an annual award for high-quality 7th to 9th grade level books dealing with important events and personalities in American history.